God's ready to go. If you still have your cell phones on and you're just not using them for your Bible, please go ahead and shut your cell phone on off because we do want to hear from the Lord, amen? Not from your neighbor that's telling you that your cat's loose or something, you know?
Unless Jesus is calling you, turn it off. Good morning. Yeah, when I said that, what I meant was, you know, maybe Tallulah could have took the service last week, or Johnson, or Shot, or somebody. And I would have meant that I'd be here this week. You know, that's what I really meant. but here we are, and thank God. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Let our face know it this morning one time, just with a big old smile. It's been a hectic week, but a great week for me. Yeah, and I'm really excited to be back, and I'm excited that my pastors and mentors are here this morning again, and just a delight to be back with you today. And last week, this is in no way a part two of last week, but I think it's something we can build on. If I was looking at this, of what we talked about last week, I would definitely want to build on that with this week. Last week we talked about, if you wasn't here, or even if you was, we talked about, and I did not know, I think it was Tabitha and Adam or somebody told me during lunch afterwards that it was what the prophecy was for this church during last year's leadership meeting was that was about just the very thing we talked about forgetting the former things, and that God was doing a new thing, and that it was going to come. And I talked to you about just the perspective, the way I felt it would come through a little bit of pressure, because it implies it's going to spring forward. And we talked about when it could happen, and the scripture says it can happen now. It shall spring forth now, and that He will make a way in the wilderness for us, and that God would go before us, right? And but we talked about if we don't walk in it and we don't follow in it, then it's just an open way in the wilderness. And but I really believe, not just in this church, but in our church and churches across the country, we are in a time that the church is going to spring forward.
Yes.
And it's now. And there's a season is now. And relevant now is relevant to you and to me and in God's time. Because like I said at the end of the service, when Jesus told him to come, it was only Peter who said, "Lord, if it was you, bid me to come." And the rest stayed behind, and Peter stepped out into the water and got his feet wet. And so not everybody will step at the same time. But I do believe, because I believe there is a process. There is a process. But I believe that we're in a season that God is bidding us to come. That He is saying, come. And I told you, I shared with you, I was sort of transparent, and not that you didn't already know it, because you know me, so you know my weaknesses. I don't have many strengths, so... But God's good. So, but I've always struggled. I told you I struggled with commitment. I've always struggled with committing to things 100%. I start good and I don't always finish well. And I know I'm the only one in here that's ever done that. So forgive me for that. But the Lord is working with me, and especially this past year. And I'm committed to the process. And there's some Wednesday night services that we have at the church. And I can't tell you how my mind is consumed. And I'm on fire right now for the Lord. But yet, sometimes on Wednesday, when I'm not traveling, I get home and it's time to go for prayer. I almost have to make myself go. I'm not proud of that. But there's times, and I have to, I'll look at Nikki, I'm like, do we have, you know, this 30-minute drive, we're going to go pray for an hour. And then I begin to remind myself, He's been good to me.
Yeah.
Hasn't He been good to me?
Yeah.
What's my health look like? What's my finances like? What is our ministry like? What has the Lord done for me? How good has He been? If He never did another thing for me, has He done enough that I should get up and go commit my time on a Wednesday night for prayer for Him? And I know I'm speaking to somebody because you guys are a lot. I mean, we all are alike in this race. We struggle sometimes with committing. We struggle when the doors are open to get here sometime. And I talked to you about last week about it being more than just, as Pastor Tyrone used to say, we stamp our insurance card because we come and we, you know, that's good. That's our life certificate, right? We got that stamped. But there's more to it in the process. And so, I'm telling you, I'm saying that when I open the scripture, it is difficult sometimes, no matter how on fire you are for the Lord, sometimes to just get up and go. I'm challenging you to, when you just wake up and look at each other and go, how are you feeling? Just ask yourself, has the Lord been good?
Yeah.
Has He been good to me? Is He worth my time this morning? Is He worth my commitment? Is He worth my gas to drive down there? Did He not provide it for me to go? Did He not make a way in the wilderness for me to go? Will I not come to the table with Him? Will I not come to the table with Him? Will I not make moments and more times to spend and be intimate with the Lord? And so that brings me to the point of this morning, because I really believe we are springing forward as a church. I know personally I feel like The Lord has begun to spring me. Whether you can see it or not, I can see it. And I feel it. And there's something good going on in the house. And sometimes when it sounds like it's quiet and it feels like there's nothing going on. Last week I told you the people under, there was a troubled time. It was a stressful time to them. They were displaced and there wasn't any certainty. And it seemed like God wasn't doing anything. But yet God said, I am yet God and I will spring forth. I will spring forth now in this season. I will spring forth and I will make a way for you. If He's made a way for you, we have to walk in it. Matthew 20. I'm going to go back one quick thing. I want to touch on one thing. Jesus is at the table in the Lord's Supper and the Passover dinner, and He's preparing for some discipleship and for some teaching and for some understanding and for some revelation, fresh revelation at the table with the disciples. And right before that, we see a passage where He's there again at a table with a woman who breaks the jar over Him. And the Lord begins to have to teach and give some instruction at the table. And so bear with me the first 5 or 10 minutes of this morning, because we're going to get to a point. I realized in the process of studying the Lord's the Passover Supper that there is a process. There was a process to the dinner, and it applies to our life. And there's I see the church. Discipleship is like there has to be a discipleship. I get troubled by when I go places and I hear pastors and preachers sometimes talk about. Now, I believe in healing, and what Talu did this morning was so appropriate in the sense of we are declaring that the enemy is under our feet, and we are declaring that he has no authority, right? And what we're saying is he's foolish, and we've got him bound. But we know that sometimes we fall and let him get us bound, and that's not that was never intended to be our place. But I guess what I'm saying to you is that sometimes I hear pastors say that, you know, that God's going to heal this and heal that and there'll be no sickness and no this or that. If that were the case, we'd be overpopulated and no one would ever die. So now I'm not saying that we need to be bound to sickness. I'm not saying that we can't take authority over that. We can't believe and trust God. But what I'm saying to you, if you believe for a second that you're never going to face sickness, that you're never going to face problems, flat tires, problems at work, family issues, then we don't understand the process. We don't understand the process of God. He said he would go with us. He would make a way in the wilderness, meaning he'd go before us. He'd clear a path. He didn't say he'd pick us up and bring us down. I was sharing with Johnson this morning. I believe when we think of the story of the Red Sea splitting, we think of them just going and running and running and running and running. But something in my mind tells me while God opened the path, and I can't prove this in the scripture to you, but just bear with me with common sense for a second. There's something that sort of tells me as they were running and carrying things and chariots and the things are going, there was a process even getting across an open sea. And there was probably potholes and mud holes and stumbling and running into each other and things that are going on in their life at that moment, just like ours. Amen. But yet the Lord says, I made a way. I opened a sea for them. But there was still a process. I wish I could break it down and say, well, here's one trip on that. Oh, so-and-so broke the ankle. You know, but I believe that process. Okay. That's what I see in the spirit. Okay. But we're going to talk about something real quick. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man named Simon the leper, known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. Again, Jesus is at the table. There's something intimate about the table. It symbolizes relationship and closeness and unity and you know, not just everyone knocks on my door. I told you last week and just comes in to eat and sits at my table. I mean, I have to know you. I have to understand you. I have to trust you before I let you in my home. It's not that if you're hungry, I wouldn't feed you. But if you're going to come dine and sit down with me, it's a good chance that I'm going to know you. If I invite you to my home, it's because there's a purpose. There is a purpose for that. Because I want to spend time with you, or I have something with you, or maybe you have something I need, or vice versa. But there's a plan and a purpose. So we see Jesus at the table, and when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money given to the poor. And aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. There is something about the intimacy in our home and the privacy with the Lord and at His table that suddenly relationship, a revelation, it's produced from relationship. And they get a first-hand revelation, not second hand-me-downs at that very moment. And they begin to understand something. And the Lord says, she's preparing me for my burial. And the God's beginning to I guess what I'm trying to really say this morning as I stumble across my words is if we're going through something right now, if you're going through anything at all, and that's everyone in this room, I'm certain. And if you aren't, you will soon, trust me. Let's never underestimate and let's never make light of the moments of preparation. Yeah. The moment of preparation. I've heard you preaching around here for years about preparation and about God wanting to bring revelation to us and takes us. You preached about the elevator story, about the elevator at our church a couple weeks ago. And then this week we talked about going forward in God. There's something about a desire of people. And so I began to look at it. What did this woman have? that would cause her to just want to come and pour out something that was valuable and something that was expensive at his feet? What was in her heart that was different than maybe me, that I would show up at his table and give something, the last bit of something I have that's valuable to him? And how many times maybe I've missed that opportunity to do that? And then it says this, and I love this. It says the Lord was eagerly desired, to have that Passover supper. He eagerly desired to minister and to be with his disciples, is what the scripture says. It says on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat at the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city and a certain man and tell him." A certain man. The teacher says, "My appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house." So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and they were eating. He said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." You know the story. They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." Y'all watched me in the play for a couple of years, take some money and say it wasn't me. And I was Judas, you know what I mean? So I can read this, and now this time I don't have to be Judas, right? I can get in the story, and I could be Peter if I want to, you know, or maybe John or Matthew. So that's good. Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hands in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will just go as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, "Surely I did not, I, Rabbi," Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. I'm going to read that again. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." There was a certain man. If today the Lord was going to come and he was going to bring you a word of revelation. Now, I believe that if the Lord was calling us to the table, he's calling every last one of us to the table. However, if he said, "I'm calling those that are interested, I'm calling those that I can trust, those that I've endowed, but that I can trust with more, because God is a good steward of what he gives." Amen. He's a good steward of what he gives. If he were calling us to the table today and he was only taking 12 because only 12 would come or would be committed in this particular case, but would we be one? Would I be one? And then I began to think about the woman who came, and she went to a different table. It wasn't the Passover. She came, I don't know, it seemed like she was invited. She was there at the house. It applies to me that she was welcome there. But then this certain man is the one I'm looking at this morning. I'm thinking about, I understand it, Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like at the Passover supper, if you went to the house of a leader or someone had the home that was appropriate for it, and you asked if you could have a room to have the dinner there, they would allow you to. However, this is what I find unique about the scripture, that the certain man's house was open to them, that Jesus knew enough about that certain man that he would pick him, he would send the disciples to him, but yet he wasn't at the table. And boy, that's when it really hit me, because I began to struggle with that. I thought, he knows him well enough. He had a certain man. He had enough knowledge of him. The man obviously had enough knowledge of Jesus and the disciples at the Passover that they would open his house to him. Who in here would open your house to me to have a party that you would not attend? Right? It just seems a little odd to me. So then I began to ask myself, well, like the scripture says last week, it's going to spring forth now. Did you not know it? So then I begin to ask myself, do I know him well enough? Do I go to his table enough? Do I dine with him enough? Am I in his graces enough? Do I spend enough time with the Lord? Have I done well, like the parables? You know, right before this story, Jesus had began teaching parables and talking miracles, and he was teaching through those and the parables of the talent. Have I taken what the Lord has given me and used it appropriately, that he would have me to the table so that he can make a moment of preparation to take me into what's destiny for him? Does that make sense? So I began to examine myself, and as I started looking at the scripture here, I started looking at, there's a process to this. The process is God, it's good, it's bad, it's blessing, it's pain all together. And am I the only one that has a tendency to resist the process? I mean, you know, I just want to graduate through things, right? I want to get past that. I want to tell you something very quickly, and I'm just going to share it with y'all because you know me, you know Nikki and I pretty well. I would like to think that since I stopped being a jerk, I'll admit that. I would say the last 10 or so years, we have what I think is a wonderful marriage. I think if she was here, she would say yes. We get along well. We communicate well. I think we compliment each other all the time. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm getting to something. Okay. I'm saying that something happened about a few months back, and none of that existed. for about a month. I couldn't put my finger on it. I started to call you. I talked to my mother-in-law and father-in-law. We talked, you know, because Nikki had some things she had to fix, right? I mean, she just had to get it right for me. Cause no, I'm kidding. But there was something that was going on. It was a process in our house, and we just couldn't. I mean, we get our church on Wednesday, and the next thing you know, there'd be tension in the car. And some of the look on your face, I know. Just go ahead, we're right. You've never done anything like that. I know. Nobody in this room's had that. So, but for somebody who usually gets along well, and my kids are here, they can testify that our house is pretty peaceful. We don't, you know, for the most part. And so all of a sudden, this was going on, and I'm just like, it was like shock. It was like it was when we met, and I was just the jerk that I was talking about, you know. And we're going back to that for about a month, and something was happening. Finally, I said, Lord, and this path, you know, my mother-in-law said, well, you know, God's trying to do this. And I said, well, if that's what the Lord has, if this is the way I got to go through this, because I thought we had control over this. I didn't think this had to. If that's the way it's got to go, I don't want no part of that. Oh, boy. And then I began to pray. I went in the room and I prayed, and she did the same. And she went home one day when I wasn't there, and she was casting out things and just praying, anointing our doors and anointing our house and saying, God, this is not what you called us to. You called us to this, and you know, you called us, just going at it, right? And I did the same. And so suddenly I realized that there was something that had to happen, because there was a past with our children, some things that we didn't ever work out, that we didn't ever let heal, that we didn't ever really talk about. Some things that I didn't apologize for. Maybe she didn't apologize. And communication began. And since that moment, we began to spring forth. Yeah. Since that moment, we began to spring forth. But if you'd asked me one or two weeks into the process, I'd have said, skip this. Skip this. Can't we just shout, I love you? Okay, but there was something that was going on in our home. And while, you know, you can easily say, well, the enemy's, okay, fine. Or you could say that there was a process, because this is two believers that know better, that can't seem to put a stop to it until we come to our knees and say, God, whatever it is you need to do in me. Yeah. And that's what we began to do. And so she began to tell me how wrong she was. You know, I'm loving it, right? Yeah, because I didn't do this right and that right. So I'm eating up in that. I'm like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that for a month. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Finally, you got it. And then I had to say, well, maybe he wasn't wrong, because And you know what I mean, but the process, it was grueling. And I'm just sharing a detail with you. I'm not airing out my dirty laundry. I'm not proud of it, but listen, today we are springing. The Lord is opening the doors. Our relationship, I think, as my kids would tell you, they've seen a difference in some of the, maybe the way we approach or handle and do things. I believe God is doing something in our home. I hope that encourages somebody, okay, to just say, if you're in a process right now, don't make the mistake I did 2 weeks into it to say, Lord, if this is it, I don't want a part of it. Say, Lord, open my eyes to it. Open my eyes so that I could come to the table, that I understand the processes that's going on even at the communion table. It says Jesus is sitting and having supper, reclined at the table, preparing them for a moment of fulfillment of his destiny. In this passage, he's preparing them for a moment of fulfillment of his destiny. But today, what's different about it is when we come to the table, when we come to the house of God, when we get in our moments of privacy and intimacy with the Lord, and we begin to see God, it's all about the fulfillment of our destiny. Yeah. Amen. What a difference it makes today. In that time, they were sitting there, and while they were interested because they loved this Jesus that they served so much, right? They were human, but they loved this Jesus. It was a moment of fulfillment for their destiny. But today we have an opportunity to come to a table, to sit with the Lord, sit in our closet, sit in our car, in our private space, in our workplace, in this church, in the nursery, in the Sunday school, whatever it is in your ministry. And now we get fulfillment of our destiny. Yeah. The Lord begins to give us through revelation of the fulfillment of our destiny. Yeah. And so then I began to really get hungry for that. I said, Lord, I want to fulfill that destiny. You know, you promised me. You said, you know, you had someone prophesy that I wouldn't sleep right until I fulfilled my destiny. And it would just rise up in my belly until I did. So, Lord, let it be so. And you know, Jesus has never taken us through anything that he can't understand, that he doesn't know about. Either he's been through it or he understands it. You can't make a way in a wilderness, like I told you last week, if you don't understand, if you hadn't been through it yourself. You have to make a way, that means you have to go through it. You have to clear it. You have been down that road. There's a strengthening that's going through it. He's given us the grace to get through the tough times, and he's given us the endowed us with his favor to be able to get through those things. And I know I'm going somewhere with this. And so if God brought you to it, what I'm saying is he's certainly going to bring you through it. Amen? Absolutely will. If He brought you to it, rest assured that you're in a process that He's going to bring you through it. Okay? And let's turn with me, if you can, to Matthew 26, 17. We're going to go for the verse where they're at the table. I want to say something. It was really a significant moment. And this moment today is very significant as well, I believe, because yeah, hopefully it'll open some eyes like me. You may not completely believe with my perspective, but that's okay. That's why you are to go to the table and to ask the Lord for your own interpretation and perspective, because if in all due respect to this house, because this is, you guys know my heart, I love this place. It's a good house, and we have a good word and all that good stuff. And Pastor Tyrone has spoken into my life many times. I use a lot of it at the church I go to. I use analogies and talk about things He's done. But if this was the only place and we depended on Him, and if He was the only one ever feeding me, all I'd ever have is really secondhand knowledge and revelation of His relationship with the Lord. If I don't come to the table in the process when a tough time comes, I can't ever say I've been down this road already. I've seen God move through this. When my work doesn't go right, when my family situation doesn't look right, I can say, God, I trust You, because tomorrow is going to be a better day, because I know, because I've been through it. I've been at the table with You long enough, God. There's something about experience that You just can't replace. You just can't replace it. So in order to get experience, I'm not talking about age. You could be 19 and have experience with the Lord.
That's right.
I'm excited about the covenant, the class, the solid rock. There's so many young people. And I believe that there's going to be even more signing up. And based on what we talked about last week, the challenge, I believe there's going to be more people saying, you know, I did raise my kids, and that's what makes me qualified for nursery. Sign me up. We'll go through ministry. There'll be some that say, you know, I don't know if I fully understand how to do children's church, but I'm willing to sit in on a class and learn or two. I want to go that ministry. I want to be a part of this ministry. I want to be an intercessor. I believe that God is going to rise up in some of us in new ministries, because that's what this is really about, us being able to take it in so we can give it out. That's what it's really all about. And it says, it signifies genuine and significant relationship while they're at the table. Well, I'm so lost in this. Okay, here it is. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Now, the process of discipleship and training. When it's about purpose, Jesus will take us.
Yes, He will.
That's the first thing that He did. He took the bread.
When
it's about discipleship and about purpose, Jesus will take us. And Paul said, for my determined purpose is that I might know Him, not just in the good, but in the fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection. He's saying, I just want to come to the table and be with Him. And I'll take the good and I'll take the bad. And I'll take every bit of it. I want to know God in the good, the bad. I want to understand even His suffering. It's important, because even God had to go through something that was going to require grace. Even Jesus went through something that would require grace from God to get through. When He prayed in the garden, right? He went through more than we could ever think of going through. So the grace is sufficient there for that. And when we forge a relationship, this is just something I wrote. When we forge a relationship with God, we don't have to go off what others say or what they tell us about Him. We can know for ourselves how to get through. This is why communion is reserved for those that have a relationship or that are through salvation. It's not that someone new coming in can't eat or we don't want to share a cup. It's unless you have a relationship or have accepted God, we can't even fully understand what we're taking in without a little bit of relationship. So I want to take it a step further and say that if we don't really have a relationship and we don't really have the Lord in our hearts so much and so heavy on us that we spend a significant amount of time with Him, that He will be speaking to us and we won't hear His voice. That He will be right next to us and we won't recognize Him. That He will be in the room with us and we won't even be aware. We won't have the presence of mind to praise Him, to say thank you to Him. Somebody said it this way to me recently. He said, take your key every day, your key, and stick it into the center underneath your bed. And because that way you'll have to get down on your knees every morning to get it for just a moment. And I thought, well, that's true, especially with my hip and back. I can't really bend. I'd have to get down on my knees. What a thought that would be if we just stuck our key, if you're physically able, every day to make a moment. I challenged you guys last week, and don't raise your hand, please, if you didn't live to the challenge, because it wasn't for me this week. I told y'all, you don't have to read 30 minutes. You don't have to be intermittent study. This is how I was preaching this week. But next week, remember that, what I challenged you and told you? Y'all know what the challenge. How many say I want to do that? So that your perspective changes when you come in. So that when Tabitha begins to encourage the worship like this morning, she was pushing and encouraging and pushing and encouraging the worship for you to get involved. And then when the word comes, your heart will already be opened, because you'll have already spent time with the Lord. You told me this so many years ago about the revival at Brownsville, the expectation because people sat outside the line for 8 hours sometimes. He said, could you imagine if you sat out 8 hours before our service or even an hour a day for 6 days, what it might do, the difference when we come in this place. If we'd come to his table for 30 minutes, 20 minutes, make time for the Lord, right? Intimate moments with him so that we wouldn't just be a certain man, that he would have us at the table and give us revelation that would tell us about our destiny. I hear so many people still saying, I don't know what I'm really to do in the Lord. I'm trusting God and I'm waiting on God. Hey, that's a good thing. We don't want to do anything reckless, but that's another word sometimes for laziness. That I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but waiting on God sometimes, he's waiting on us. Okay, he's waiting on us to go. I mean, the only reason I haven't fulfilled my destiny has nothing to do with him. It's because of my lack of commitment and because of my laziness. Okay, I'm still waiting on God, right? Man, you know the old saying, if you're not moving forward, if you're not growing, you're dying. What are we waiting on to have moments of intimacy with the Lord? What are we waiting on to put the remote down, to turn the TV off, to set things aside, okay? I'm sorry for your toe. No, I'm not. Y'all know I love you. Jesus began to share about the bread and the wine. He begins to tell them something they've never heard before. There's something about revelation. It's something new. You have to be willing to accept and understand and listen to something new. When revelation comes, there's no such thing as revelation that you got yesterday. If I told you yesterday, today it's not anything new. That was a word for yesterday. You're looking for something new today. Something new for you to run in today. You heard before that word. But there's something about today's message that says, I'm doing a new thing in you. So we might not be able to think like we used to. The transformation of our mind has to occur. We might not be able to even pray like we used to. We might even have to ask God, am I even praying right? Should I be on my knees? I mean, I know that may sound strange to you, but you know what? It may be that the Lord just wants you obedient to drop to your knee if you can. Maybe he just wants you to lay prostrate on, just look out on the floor. I don't know. But there's something about moments of intimacy with the Lord that he begins to tell us of our destiny. And that's what he's doing in this scripture. And I love this because it says he took the bread. He blessed it and broke it. In the beginning, Jesus took us out of our comfort zone. The Lord began to show me that what's going on at the table is not just revelation, but it is the same exact process that he uses at that table of instruction for them that he would use in our life. It says he took them. And some of you think, well, I know we've heard that the Lord is a gentleman. He won't force us to do anything. Well, that is true. But he is ruthless and relentless. And he will take us. The Bible says he took Abram and told him to go from the place that you're comfortable with. Get out of there. Go to a new place. Abraham had to go. Jonah, he told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. So the Lord took him into a belly of a whale. He could have released him right there, but he had to stay for 3 days. So there was a process he had to go through. There was a learning that he had to go through. Can you imagine if at the moment of going in the belly of this whale or fish, whatever you want to call it, that Jonah would have said, okay, I got this and got out of it. All right. Okay, I get you, Lord. No. But our prayer has to be, God, if I'm going to be in the belly of this whale for 3 days, I'm going to need you with me. Go with me because I know you're taking me. I know you're taking me out of Tarsus and I know you're sending me to Nineveh where I was supposed to go initially. He took him. He took Saul and changed his name to Paul. He apprehended him by light. That's what the scripture says. I didn't make it up. He says he took him. He took him. He's a gentleman and I thank God he took me. I will tell you another quick story. I was in Houston, Texas, and I was so far in sin, and it may not even be what you was thinking, but don't worry about what sin. I was so far in depth of it, and coming home on the weekends, and my two beautiful children were young, and I was running. And I would feel conviction at times, and all of a sudden, I would feel conviction, but I just never would subdue to it. I never submit, Pastor. That's right. I just was running for a minute, and all of a sudden, I found myself get to this place where even the conviction was starting to go, and I found myself where I didn't once in like a month period, which was rare for me, say, Lord, I know I'm messing up, but hope you can forgive me, and God, I'm coming back to you, and I know you got purpose and plan for me. I would say things like that. Anybody else do that when you're going through some sin? Sometimes, God, if you'll give me time to do have my fun, I know I got something good. You're gonna use me, and all of a sudden I began to get to this place where the reprobate mind with the Lord, you know, turn. I just felt like I was cold, but something inside of me stirred one day, and I was on side of the road in I-10 in Houston, and I pulled over, and I said, God, I have never been this low. I've never been in this place before. I've had you counsel me before I left. I had people speaking into my life, telling me that was not my destiny. But I ran, and I pulled over on I-10. I said, God, break me. God, take me. God, do whatever you have to do. I said, Lord, I remember saying this. God, if it's my life, if I have to lose my life to come back to you, take it, it's yours. I swear to you, balling on the side of I-10 in Houston traffic. Horns going everywhere. And here I am having a moment with the Lord. I said, God, take me. Take me. Do what you will. I'm telling you that the Lord is taking his church back. He has taken you. If you wonder why you may have to go through some brokenness, if you wonder why the process is seeming heavy on you, if you're wondering why the family member isn't right, the drugs are still there, if you're wondering why the job promotion, the finance, the things just aren't right yet, the Lord is taking us through a process. He took him by his light. He is a gentleman, but he will take us. It is scriptural. He will take us and he will impose his will on us. Now, he won't make us, but when he takes us hard enough, we will submit. Jonah finally said, okay, I'm coming out of this whale. I'm coming out of this. I mean, he had to go pay a fare to get on a ship to be swallowed by a whale when all along he could have came to the table with Jesus. He could have been committed to the message. He could have been committed to the process, but he didn't. But he had to go through it. If anybody else is right now, somebody's in the belly of a whale. I mean, I just know because I was there not long ago. Somebody in the room. I don't have to be a prophet to tell you that, right? You don't have to be genius to know that someone's going through some tough stuff at the time, right? I mean, all right. You just know it. But there's a process, and the Lord's given instruction at the table what He wants to do. And so, what I'm trying to say to you this morning, if we can understand this process, we will come out of it with a different perspective and a different attitude about it. I better move quickly. I'm going to move on real fast, okay? Is that okay? You can only run so far when it's about purpose. See, I can run all over Texas, but I can only go so far when there's purpose. And I'm not, this is not about patting me on the back, but what I'm saying to you, if the Lord hadn't taken me, I couldn't have been here last week to share a word. I couldn't have been here this week to share a word. I couldn't understand God's grace and have just the most amazing relationship with two of the most awesome kids ever, ever. If I had just kept running, if the Lord didn't take me, if he didn't take me on the side of the road in Houston and begin the process. Now, I had some mistakes after the process. Trust me, I've had a lot of them. A lot of them here. But the process is still in place. And my perspective is changing on what the Lord is trying to do in my life. And it says after he took it, he blessed it. He lifted it to the Father and blessed it. Now, this is the part we love. This is the part of the process where we flourish, where the windows of heaven open up, where good things happen, where everybody's blessed, hands are lifted, finances look good, family members are coming to Jesus, the church is crowded. Oh, man, we got 20 people in discipleship. We got this, we got that. Oh, flourishing, the blessings. That's the part we love, right? It says he blessed it. Isn't that the process the Lord takes us? And then he begins to bless us. Just by coming to him, just by submitting ourselves a little bit, blessings begin to come. Things begin to happen in our lives. And we get comfortable with that. But then the Lord says, hold up, don't get too comfortable yet. Because then it says that he broke it. Oh, wait a minute. He broke it. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is a perspective of our relationship with the Lord and the discipleship and what the Lord is calling us to be a body and a church that will come to the table daily. I'll challenge you again this week. If you will submit yourself for 30 minutes a day, if you will submit yourself for 30 minutes of the day this week, when you come in here next week, if you call me and tell me your perspective has not changed on the service and that God did not do something different in you in that day, call me and I will buy you the best steak dinner on this coast can buy. Anywhere you name it, I'll do it for six, okay? I mean, serious, I dare you. I dare you to take the challenge. I can turn my phone off because I already know the outcome if you really do it. 30 minutes if we would commit to honor this house, to come in here. Why? Not so that we could just come into this house and offer grace, because that 30 minutes a day when we come into this house will challenge us to take it to a different place. Our relationship will go to a level, if we will spend 30 minutes of a day at the table, we will be certain that the Lord will not make us that certain man that might just entertain but not welcome us to the table. That He'll give us firsthand revelation. That the church will stop saying, I'm waiting on God because I don't know my ministry. I'm 62 years old and I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm 22 years old and I really don't know where I'm supposed to go to school. All right, come on, let's just get real with God, right? I don't even have to tell you how old I am. But I'm telling you, there's times when I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And the Lord says, because you hadn't listened to a word I said. Because you hadn't come to the table with me. You're not really obedient. You're not committed to this thing. You're not committed to this thing. Am I the only one? Am I speaking to myself this morning? Or has anybody said my lack of commitment, my lack of time at the table? Lord, take me. Lord, bless me. But then, Lord, break me. It's necessary. The Bible says it's the trying of our faith that worketh patience. And it's better than gold. Our strength is in our brokenness. We think that our strength is in our blessing. And I tell you something. You will not find your best place in God until you're broken. I'm serious. And I'm going to use you again. I remember you told a story about when you were working those after-hours jobs. And then you got put in a man basket with somebody at the time. You didn't understand the purpose of that. You really didn't. Y'all didn't blend too well. But you knew later that God had a plan and a purpose for that. And then the story about the when you were working and looking in the window at the at what you call those home. Yeah. And you saw him on the mattress on the floor, I believe. Okay. And you began to get broken before the Lord. Because you were working this job that wasn't for you. That wasn't His intended purpose, right? He began to say, murmur a little bit and say, "This, I know I can do more than this. I'm a servant of God," right? But there was a process that the Lord was taking him down. And I remember that story forever because there's something about that broken place. When you said, Lord, when the Lord said to you, "Where are your children?" And they were at home. Where are your children? They were at home in their bed. And you get to a place of brokenness. Well, you begin to realize that I shouldn't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't even have this. But God, You have been good to me. I'm telling you, God, I'm telling you for everything that's in me. I grew up in a very unique home. I could tell you stories. And I thank God. I thank God for that. At the time, I did not understand it. But I wouldn't understand it because when hot water comes on in my current home, I tell you, when I'm taking a shower, there's times I say, Lord, I didn't have this growing up. When I go to my bed at night, I got a king-size bed. I'm not bragging, but I do. But I didn't have one growing up. I slept on the floor. I said, God, look how good You are to me. You took me from the floor to a king's house because You are a king. It's the broken places in my life that are our strength. The Bible says that our strength comes out of our weakness. I mean, when we're strong, God can't be, right? So I'm saying to you, if you are in a broken place, embrace it. You may very well be in the best place, in the best place at this moment of the process. Still, take the brokenness and spend time with the Lord. Begin to say, Lord, You made a way. God, You said You made a way in the wilderness. God, You said even You had to go through some things. But the end result, God, was victory. So, God, I'm believing that while my car isn't running right. God, I'm believing why the job didn't come my way, that the raise isn't there. God, there's a purpose and a plan that You bring me through this. While my sister, my brother isn't treating me right. This isn't going. I lost this loved one. Lord, You are trying to do something in me. And God, I thank You in advance for what You're doing. God, I thank You for victory. I thank You for what's ahead in this broken season that I'm in, God, because You're about to spring me out of this. You're about to spring me out of this. And this is the part I love, and we'll begin to close this out. It says, after that, He give it. But you know, let me ask you something. How long do we have to go through brokenness? How long? How long do we have to be broken? Say, break me till I live right, Lord. Break me till I give right. Break me, God, till I'm more committed. Break me, God, until I talk to my wife. To my husband, wife. Break me, Lord, until when the offering comes around, I give You what's Yours, God. Break me right, Lord, until the worship, when the worship comes, God, I'll lift my hands and say, I submit to You. Break me until I do it, Lord. Break me until I act right. Break me until I talk right. Break me until I don't speak in tongues in here and then don't speak to my neighbor outside the house. Break me of that, Lord. Break me until I do it. Right? There's just something about a place of brokenness. And then the Lord began to show me that He's going to keep breaking me until I stop going back to the thing He broke me from. So I want to say that to somebody that is probably going to impact your thinking right now. I hope so. Stop going back to the thing He broke you from. And then we can get out of that type of brokenness. Because some brokenness is not the Lord. I've stepped in fire before. I've tried to throw flames on it. I mean, it don't work, right? We have to understand there's a process. We have to use our good judgment that the Lord has given us. But out of brokenness, God is transitioning someone to greatness. He says, if you'll let me take you, and you'll let me bless you, and you'll let me break you, then I'll give. But this is a good part, because not only is the Lord talking about giving to us, but he's talking about giving of us. What he's really saying is, after the entire process, after I've molded you in like clay, after I've shaped you, I'm giving you to a purpose. Because coming to my table, coming to this communion table, this supper that we call spending time with Jesus, this Passover, this celebration that we do each week at the table of Jesus, in our homes, in our car, wherever we take it, it's really just a celebration that says, God, you are molding me, you're shaping me. You take me, you bless me, you break me, so you can give me out. The Lord is wanting to give us out. He's wanting to give to us and give us out of it. If you've been through the process, thank God that you've been through it. The Bible says that no eye has seen, nor ears have heard, no mind has it's not entered into the heart of mind the things that God has prepared for your life. That ought to be something exciting for us to understand, that when we come to that table, that is the process that we can't even understand and conceive. We cannot fully understand when we go down the table what the Lord will do for us. And the difference this time is, when we come out of this process, we won't say, well, I lucked out. I come out of that luck. Ooh, I was lucky. No. At this time, I believe the church, when we come out of the next stage of broken and God gives, we will declare that this is God's doing. We will declare that the things that we went through were because of the Lord taking us through a process. We'll begin to thank God in advance for them, and then we'll begin to utilize those things and use them. If you are bound by addiction and drugs, and now the Lord is putting you in places to teach, I mean, come on, common sense, right? I don't have to tell. I'm not a prophet. I don't have to tell. But look, you utilize it. The broken place that the Lord brought you from. DJ, I thought about you in the preparation for this, because I'm not in no way saying that the Lord has placed him in that chair. But what I am saying, the man I've watched since I became in this church is not what he explained to me, but what he was before that accident. Yeah. And what I am saying to you is that he has blessed so many people. Yeah. As I understand it, you're about to get your master's degree, huh? Amen. I mean, the process. How many people aren't blessed? See, the Lord has used him in other cities and other places to talk, to motivational speaker. But if he had said, God, if this is you, I don't want no part of this. If this is the kind of accident and process that you... Because I'm not saying the Lord did it, but what I am saying is, there's nothing happens without the watchful eye of the Lord. If you don't think he sees where you're at and knows your circumstance, he will make for good. Amen? So take that process. Run with it. Embrace it so that he can give back. The last thing is this. As thy day is, so shall thy strength be. And it says that they took Jesus and they lifted him, right? I thought about that afterwards. The process is that they took Jesus, they lifted him, and when they lifted him, all that really was a blessing to us, a blessing to everyone around. It's just what happens after the dinner still goes on. It's still the process. And then when they thought they broke him, and they did, they broke him to death, but then they gave him to the ground. And God gave him right back. He came right back. And it was given to us. I mean, come on. It's the process of lifting, of blessing, of breaking, and of giving. And giving God back to us that we can understand what he's given. And the last thing I will tell you and challenge, and I am done. I hope it speaks to you in some way this morning, is that it's hard. If you leave here today, and I don't care if I had the best worship music behind me playing and had the most awesome altar call, don't need it. It won't do us a bit of good right now. I'll tell you why. It is a hard process. And emotional music will not get you there. It will be a transformation of your mind that will say, so this morning, that's not where we're going. I'm just saying, I am challenging you to take this table and come to that table as a church body together. We just need to do it more. Because this is how hard it's going to be. And I'm not saying it can't be accomplished. I'm just guarding you, because when we walk out of here, somebody will sure enough flip you off in that street, and we won't love that process too much. I won't like that process. But this is how hard it is. Jesus was having that intimacy with his disciples. He's sharing that. And then he says, not only did he take those, but then he breaks it down even further. And he's taking them to the garden, where it says he was sweating. I mean, he was just... Jesus was going through something, right? And he tells his disciples, and he shares that with them. So then he takes Peter, James, and John. He takes the ones that he's closest with now. He even narrows it down from everybody that was at the table, and he takes even the most ones that he's intimate with. And he says, come and watch and come pray with me. And then you know the story, right? Jesus goes over here. They could hear him praying, because he's going back and forth. He was in a close enough spot, as I understand it, they could probably hear the agony coming from him as he prayed, Lord, take this cup. And they could not even participate and sit at the garden at his feet in the table and pray with him long enough. The challenge became that difficult that they began to get sleepy. And that's where the church is today. It's sleepy. We're sleepy, or we're watching SportsCenter, or we're doing something else. That's how difficult it was. That after that tough moment, I'd like to think, man, if you came over to my house, and you started telling me what we're about to do, I mean, I'm grabbing a bull by the horn. We're ready. I'm fired up. I'm probably speaking in tongues if I didn't even know how, right? I'm excited because, you know, and I'm hurt at the same time, right? Because I'm not excited about what's about to happen, but I'm excited that I get to be part of it and that he would think enough of me to take me to that place. And so I'm going to stand there with it. He chose me to battle with him. Because I'm the closest. I'm one of the ones that would do it with him. I'm one of the ones he trusts. That's us. Church, we are the ones that he is saying, come to the table. Now, all of us are invited to the table. Not everyone will come eat with him. And definitely not everyone will pray in the toughest hour with him. That's how tough the challenge will be. But I'm just encouraging. This morning, I hope I'm encouraging you. I'm a little more laid back than normal, I know. Okay, I'm encouraging you. Have a good time in the process. Trust the Lord. Make time at the table. And the minute you think you got this whipped, brokenness is coming because you will sure enough fall asleep. Let's remain humble in the process and just say, Lord, break me again. Take me today. Anybody want to say, take me today, Lord? Take me today, Lord. Break me today, Lord. Uh-oh. Say it louder. Break me today, Lord. Because that's the best process. Because then, Lord, oh, you can give me. You can give me out. You can give. You can give. You can give. When the Lord gives, man, what could it be better than that? Amen. I hope you've been challenged and just encouraged a little bit this morning. That's all I have for you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you. Wow, that's awesome. I'm looking out the door. Looks like the sun is up. So I think we're going to have a picnic in Diamond Head. Amen? Not only that, I just want to encourage you. That's a great word, but I just want to let you know something. I battled this week. I just told Jason before the service that I had something on my mind that I don't think I've ever done in this church, is just to bring a warning. A warning. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, what's going on, God? That's not my kind of word. And this is the word that's coming next week. So if you can start preparing yourself, prepare. Have you ever heard of a prophet or a priest named Eli? And he had two sons called Hophni and Phinehas. And they all died, the story goes. If you get a chance, go back and find it and read it. But then the daughter-in-law of Eli had a baby. And the baby was called Ichabod. And the word Ichabod means the glory has departed. And I wept this week because the Lord said, there is not the church, but there are some people in this church that the glory has departed. Like Jason felt when he was driving down the interstate. The glory was departing. And in the process of that, he repented. And the Lord will, if we repent and get our lives right, the Lord will pour out his spirit and he will bless. So this is just, if you got an opportunity to read some scripture this week, go back and find that story and read it and see what the Lord has to say to you. Because I believe that just like the church is leaping forward, there are few that's going to fall off. They're going to give up. They're not going to repent. They're not going to make things right. They're going to say, you know what, it's okay. And if you read the story, that's why Eli and Hophni and Phinehas ended up in trouble. It's because they started ignoring the call of God. They started saying, I'll get there later, Lord. You got a plan for me later. I don't want to get back into preaching right now because the sermon's over. But I just want to encourage you to prepare yourself because the Lord's doing a work. He is. He's breaking some folks, and he's bringing us to a place of repentance, true repentance. Anyway, didn't want to leave you on a downer. God's good. Didn't want to leave you on a downer, but God is good. Say, God is good. And what the enemy meant for bad, God will do for good. Amen? Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that came this day, Lord. Lord, we come before you with a fresh understanding of who you are and who we are in you, Lord. And we just encourage, Lord, each other. Lord, we lift up each other today, Lord. We ask you to bless and encourage and strengthen the body of Christ as we love each other and as we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. 2 o'clock, East Rec and Diamond Head. Hope to see you there.